Venice has long captivated the mind of Western society as a threshold of trade, intellectual and artistic development, and cultural achievement. For centuries, this Italian city has been the idyllic center of the artisanal glass trade, as well as other artisan crafts, including bookbinding and mask making. Despite many efforts, Venice faces a high tide of problems in the modern world, including economic downturns, touristic booms creating, ironically, a tightened market for handmade objects, and literal high water. The city is sinking, sea levels are rising, the climate is changing, and artisans are struggling to adapt. From this scene comes the project Venetian Artisanship and Climate Change, as well as the podcast you are listening to. My name is Robert Eric Shoemaker, and I became fascinated with Venice, as many have, as the tides began to turn. This is the story of modern Venice, an improbable city unaccustomed to change. Venetian Artisanship and Climate Change. In part one of this podcast, we will meet Paolo Olbi, a Venetian bookbinder with a mission to send the book arts into the next century, along with Venetian culture. In part two, we are joined by the stories of many others, both born Venetian and adopted Venetian, who give voice to many of the issues faced by the live-in population. An ominous forecast for Venice and the climate concludes this portion and is followed by part three, an exploration of potential ways to adapt, to live in Venice today. Part four concludes this podcast with remarks on Venice's future, as well as ways to help the city survive. Let it be lightly. Begin the day with a soft kiss, the sound of one foot on the door's stoop. See her sun-crisp face, look forward to her mouth's crinkle as she opens lips to pour forth hot language. Let it be lightly. The day begins with a single word, the sound of one foot on the door's stoop. Will I make it mine? This old gal, too much for my old eyes. I am but a simple dreamer, a watchman. The city awakens. I hear your tears, Venezia. Sea oil locks dripping into canals sloppily. Does it hurt so much to wrinkle that stiffened back? Let me teach you, lightly, softly, a kiss.
You know, Venetians are not only
your voice alights on my arm hair, a whiff of cigars. Cities die, let them.
It's not the same, because right. The life is like, sometimes I compare my city like a beautiful woman, but really empty inside now. So you can watch a beautiful woman, but maybe inside a stupid woman. The city is empty, the houses are empty for life. So the mask can represent, my work can represent. That's why I love gestures. That's why I represent gestures also in my painting, because gestures, you know, you make the happy king happy. And so I need to do something like this one with the mask. The gesture is my favorite character. And because sometimes I play a part, because, you know, for work you have to keep a smile to even when you are not happy, and here in Rialto I meet 100 people a day, so I needed to sometime to use a mask. I sell, I work a mask, but sometime I use a mask.
Part 1. Improbable City, Invisible City. Paolo the economist sweats, oils his palms, tars his print press at high noon. He worries with his bone knife. Who will buy? Who will buy? He builds a paper city. Paper gondola, paper canals with marbled paper. Chiese in leather, little people, little skins drying in the sun. He dreams he takes his little inkwell and drips ink, and the little people come back to life, screaming, Paolo's Venice. Scuola on every corner. Guilds reborn, rebuilt, the old smiling again. Paolo's Venice. Paolo smooths out the wrinkles in his exquisitely papered trinket. Paolo Olbi's shop, the way I remembered it, sat on a small piazza near a small church with a small canal nearby, where a gondola normally floated. In looking for this shop, which I visited a mere 2 years ago, I was surprised to find an empty piazza and a closed-up storefront. I rechecked my email. Dorsoduro, not far from Academia Bridge. Nowhere near here.
And the way that he would decide to hire them or not, he would ask them, show me your tools. And they had the tools wrapped up in a piece of cloth. They would open up the piece of cloth and they would show the tools. And he would see how they were sharpened properly or not. And if they were not sharpened properly, he would say, no, not you.
Paolo is a magnificently talented book artisan who used to have a full workshop and two storefronts. There he is, standing behind the counter in his one small shop, the only shop, now, showing me how to glue paper onto a book. Here he is, seated in his friend Romeo's bookstore next door, teaching me a bit of Italian.
Bene, allora, lui deve mettere assieme queste impressioni, perché lui è il turista, per me.
Sì.
Lui è l'americano, sì. E casualmente sì. Lui mi fa un'intervista.
Sì, 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 sì. Sì.
You are a tourist, he says. Inside, I don't feel like a tourist, but I must look like one. How do I prove what I am inside? Paolo has no love for what I represent as an American tourist, and nor should he. Too many tourists now flood Venice's streets, along with the high water. But too few buy anything from Paolo or the others. They crowd the Cicchetti shops, but cannot speak Italian.
Traduci subito questo, perché sennò perdiamo i tuoi. Perché dopo ti spiego perché.
He's saying that Venice doesn't belong anymore to Venetians, you see. It is a dead city from that point of view, from the point of view of the people who live here. So he's saying that if Thomas Mann, who wrote Death in Venice, you know, he had to write it now, would be quite different. Apart from the fact that it was death and whatever in Venice, still, there was a city, a vibrant city, where people lived here, and there were Venetians who lived here. Nowadays, he would write about something that, you know, would not be Venice, would not be Venetians around, would be tourists and so on. It would be a joke, he says, you see.
Death in Venice is a joke nowadays. No more quaint gondolas streaking from island to island, transporting travelers. No more bustling and yelling in the marketplace in the Rialto. Venice is a dead or dying or lost city among the rising waves of the Adriatic. For Paolo and every other artisan in this city, times have rarely been tougher. Through my travels in the floating city, I met many more memorable characters who became friends, who became symbols of the anxiety that the city feels as a whole. Throughout the course of this podcast, we will meet them and perhaps help them discover how to save their home. Part 2. Comes the Tide. Paolo Olbi is part of the older generation of Venetian artisans, and as such, has some very specific opinions about what is plaguing his city.
Allora, lui vuole che tu ci descrivi di nuovo un po' il problema dell'euro, come lo vedi tu. Ok, he thinks that for the artisans, not only in Venice, but as well in Italy, is due to the fact of the change of the money from the lira to the euro.
Nel mio caso, l'americano era il nostro cliente privilegiato.
According to him, a lot of problems. So that now maybe 80% of the artisans are suffering for that. And so we are at this point now.
I never heard quite this argument again. Though one gelato man tried to convince me that World War III was upon us because of the economic collapse and strife in the Middle East. His mind was far away, but his troubles were at home, turning eyes to what lay in front of us. Perhaps the euro and economic collapse are not the most pressing of matters.
We have the cruising ships that come and they dump into Venice perhaps 6,000 tourists, who really are not that interested and they don't want to spend that much. And so that's a problem.
Here's Sergio, a mask maker.
Then we have the navy, we have the ship, we have the quality of the tourists. They come, like, to jump in the Disneyland. They jump for 3 hours. They don't care about the city. They put paper everywhere.
The grandi navi, or great cruise ships that sail down the too narrow San Marco Canal between Giudecca Island and Venice Island, are a menace to the stonework Venice rests on and to the inhabitants of the city. These tourists, mostly Asian, American, and German, are largely uneducated about the problems Venice faces and end up contributing to them. I sat down with Laura Susunas and Alberto Tosofei, two residents of Venice, for a cup of espresso and stimulating conversation on improving the city. Laura was an integral part of my travels, linking me to over half of the artisans and contacts whom I interviewed about Venezia.
That seems like the wrong type of tourist for Venice in many ways, because Venice is about the experience of Venice and not necessarily about, you know, like you're here a day and you're gone, right? So that class of tourist isn't who can currently buy things from the artisans, right?
Yeah, it's everything different, is connected. You know, it's a different... What, you know, this town in the past 20, 25 years run behind the tourists and give them what they ask to eat, what they
yes,
you know.
Instead of creating the boundaries and saying,
and
this
so
is how
the bakery closes and open, except some, you know.
These tourists end up breezing through the city and learning very little. They most often are riding cheaply and cannot afford, or do not care to buy, expensive trinkets like those that Paolo and Sergio make. Sometimes they don't know why they should buy those, instead of the cheaper fare sold on the street.
All these places are existing because Venetians ask the municipality not to give permission to have
a junk shop.
Yeah, here. And so it's for this that we have all these.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's the only reason this whole row of shops is restaurants.
Correct.
Owned by Venetians.
Correct. Because there is a regulation, regulamentation, that forbid to sell.
Why
junk.
Can't they do that with all of this?
Immigrants to Venice often have trouble getting good jobs, just like everyone else, and so often end up selling mass-produced fake Venetian wares in the streets or in little junk shops snug in the corners of the streets. Many of these junk shops are taking the place of artisan shops. They also sell on mobile carts or anywhere else they can fit their Chinese-made wares. This enrages the Venetians who are trying to sell their own work, namely the artisans.
Yes, the city changed. We have a lot of immigration, a lot of problems with the stores. You know, the city don't help the artisan. The city don't help people like us. They don't make any kind of law that can help to survive. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky because I started many years ago, so I can do my job. I have not much problem. But if you wish to open now a new store, a new artisan, really, I don't suggest. It's too much difficult, too many law, too many problems.
The city recently suffered a setback when the mayor of Venice and almost his entire cabinet were arrested for illegal activities. Without reliable infrastructure and leadership, it's nearly impossible for Venetians to make a living selling their work. Between the city, hawkers in the streets, and ignorant tourists, artisanship is harder than it ever has been.
So you can see a nice object, something that you like, but if you don't know how it's made... Mm-hmm. It's difficult to understand, for example, why a bead costs 5 euros and another one costs 50. You know,
Alessia is right in thinking that tourists have no idea. I had almost no idea until beginning my interviews. She works in a very particular industry, the glass arts on Murano Island in the Venetian Lagoon. Glass artisans have felt the economic collapse most heavily and are shutting their factories down left and right. In their place spring up fake Murano glass shops, manned by immigrants or sometimes out-of-work Italians. These shops sell glass that looks exactly like Murano glass, is nearly as good as Murano glass, or better, some say, but it isn't made with the same love and creativity. Instead of unique pieces, these junk shops sell glass animals, glass bracelets, other items made without any love.
They make you a thousand problems for anything. They make you a thousand problems to me and other people. They don't make a problem to the people they sell in the middle of the street things without any love. Mm-hmm. So that's, we are really angry about this one, yeah. Really, with the city.
In the past few years, the economy has pressured the city into accepting more and more junk shops simply because they can make rent. This pushes out the artisans and other Venetians who own small businesses and has done a sort of canted gentrification to the city. Fewer private businesses are in operation now and more close daily. Venice, once a hub of culture, is becoming full of junk shops selling factory-made giftware and tourists who know little and care to know little about the city they are visiting.
Disgregation, all these shops until 30, 40 years ago were selling fruits, cheese,
mm-hmm. eggs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it was
produce.
A market. And now, you have only, stuffs for tourists.
And not even Venetian stuff most of the time. It's mostly from China, these stalls here.
He's squawking at me, rounding my feet. Mid-afternoon sun, bastardo, and flies into her face, burning long-feathered feet into coals that Nova Trio could use for their coarse, gritty, awful smell foreboding. I wear their clothes. I cannot see the grandi navi, dove San Marco. How will you rise? Again Venice? Or Venezia, imperial mister of the seas? What will my children call you? Dog's breath. Barnacled, artfully dope-ridden Queen Regent of Adriatica, or Towers of Terror, Log Flume, Loop-de-Loop, Disneyland. Oh, Disney, Disney, your mice are rampant here, leaving trails creeping, but not of buongiorno, ciao, come sta.
But it is also shows that tourism and people who come here have a different... It's not a city
but this summer was
the worst ever.
People swim in the canal completely naked during the day. Not at midnight, but at 2 o'clock in the
afternoon. What I say? Good, they deserve it because they're going to die in a month. I'm joking.
One friend told me she saw someone defecating in the street this summer. Another said that tourists camped in the calle. Very little respect is given to this city, which has such hospitality and such historical significance, not to mention beauty, to offer the visitor. But even these problems are not the culmination of Venice's issues. One more problem stands in the way of those living in Venice and those who would visit it, respectful or not.
My name is Mike Shoemaker. I've been working as an environmental consultant for over 10 years. My specific area of expertise is the quantification of greenhouse gas emissions, carbon footprinting, analysis of reduction opportunities, project analysis, alternatives, and mitigation assessment, as well as implications of changing emissions.
Mike, my cousin, is a climate expert. Even with the many admissions he made about his lack of knowledge of the Adriatic specifically, his comments are startling.
The general effects of climate change include increased global temperatures, elevated sea levels, extended drought conditions, increased severe weather events, melting glaciers, changing crop yields, among others. Different regions are going to be affected differently. These impacts are described using confidence intervals to relate the risk and levels of uncertainty associated with each of the impacts. The general effects, as listed, are stated with high confidence. So we can say with good certainty that sea levels are going to rise, temperatures are going to increase under the current path. As we look at more localized impacts to specific regions like Venice, the Adriatic, the specific confidence level is going to drop. That is, local impacts are more difficult to model due to the complexity of the climate systems.
Even if the Adriatic rose at all, Venice would be significantly more underwater than it is now. Even if the sea level doesn't rise in the Adriatic, storm surges will create increased aqua alta, making it harder to live in the city.
With respect to southern Europe, the Adriatic basin and Venice in particular, the Adriatic may not realize a significant change in sea level. Sea levels don't change like a bathtub. That is, you wouldn't see the same increase at every area of coastline. Differences in temperature, currents, runoff, other characteristics are all going to impact sea level elevation at different locations. The Adriatic is more sheltered as compared to, say, the Atlantic. So glacial melt and changes in currents and sea temperatures and ocean temperatures may not impact the area the same. There may be a significant lag in effect, so it could be that it'll just take longer to impact that area. However, I would still anticipate global sea rise to impact the Adriatic over the long term. If normal sea levels were not changed significantly, coastal areas could still experience impacts from more severe weather events due to climate change. Severe weather could create storm surge or increased runoff that could overwhelm drainage systems, and the impacts to coastal areas could still be significant at that point.
This would decrease the current MOES system's effectiveness and allow high water to take over the city. In the face of both man-made and natural obstacles, Venice stands on the brink of choice: to persevere or sink. Dome's day approaches for the Doge as it did before. When she spits up your ring, rebuilds the Bucintoro as silt, what will keep her out? Istrian stone? Not your gondolier doges, I row that. Can modernity pillarize you, or will all your blocks, square or not, be consumed by her guilty claws, her hungry maw, as both sun and sea conspire to rescue you?